Wow, this is a new experience for me, and maybe a new experience for many of you. I feel a little bit like a radio disc jockey sitting by myself talking, and hopefully everybody can hear it. This is and has been, I believe, the most profound workshop that I've ever taught, and it has worked in every group that I've taught it to. It has really provided people with lifelong tools and lifelong abilities to work with themselves. And go deeper than they've ever gone before. Many of you have heard the story, but I'll repeat it again. It's kind of like how I like to start things off. Besides letting you know that I thank everybody in advance for their courage to be willing to look in places that most people don't want to ever go. Most people don't want to have to go to these places, and that's why we bury them. Because the truth is that we love much more deeply than we ever let ourselves know, but our pain and our hurt is also more deep than we want to let ourselves know. So the love may be deeper than we can know, and the pain is deeper than we want to let ourselves ever feel. And because of that, a lot of times we have experiences that don't really get completed. And as a result of that, we hold things in and we stop feeling the depth of our soul connection to who and what we are. And so I'll get up to that in a little bit. But my story that I was so rudely interrupted by myself with was that I woke up one morning back in 1980 with severe flu symptoms, a deep gurgling chest cough, fever, sore throat, pain in my bones, aching everywhere. I was just in a lot of pain. And I thought I was going to be sick for a week or two. And as it turned out, I had just gone to a workshop recently that suggested that all illness has an emotional component to it. So I didn't know what that meant, but I thought I'd give it a try. So I got crawled out of bed and tried to see if I could find some emotion that was related to what was going on. And I couldn't find anything for like the first 5 or 10 minutes that I was looking. And in fact, I was extremely emotionally numb. And later on, you'll understand that numbness. But all of a sudden, I came across a process. I mean, I came across an emotional experience that had happened a few days before where somebody had said something deeply humiliating to me and was trying to hurt me by saying it in public. And I didn't want to acknowledge that I'd been hurt because then I'd have felt even worse. So I buried it and didn't return to it. All of a sudden, I had all these emotions flowing through my system. And I had all this emotional intensity going on inside myself. As I cried, I got angry, and I just released it. An hour later, I was sitting in the sun having a cup of coffee, thinking to myself, oh my God, I was really sick this morning. And the flu symptoms were completely gone. It took me many, many more years before I developed this into a concise, full system to be able to work on emotional issues. And I'll cover that a little more in a bit. But I think I jumped ahead a little bit. It's all kind of new to me. Eve, is there anything you want to tell everybody about the call process and raising their hands and asking questions and such? I think Eve is...
Hi.
There you are. Yeah.
Hi. I was just unmuting myself. Yeah, I honestly can't remember what the number is to raise your hand. Jennifer, do you remember? I didn't know I would be speaking in the call.
I remember. They hit number one on the keypad if they have.
Awesome. Yeah. So Richard will be taking calls. Questions one at a time. And if you guys have questions, go ahead and raise your hand by pressing one on your keypad, and he will do his best to get around to everyone. But he will be taking them one at a time, and might not get to everyone. But that's how you do it. Okay. Here we go.
I think I will get to everyone. That's not going to be a problem.
Oh, great. Okay, it looks like someone's raising their hand right now.
I do see right now. Okay, you've got to go off speaker. Okay, that's better. Eve is off speaker. Okay, we got a question. Looks like from Kay. And let's see. Mike? Okay. So, Kay. Okay, Kay, can you hear me? Right? I thought I didn't have you on mic. Okay, Kay, there you are, Kay. I think.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
I can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to share some feedback because I've done these types of maestro conference classes before, and the sound is distorted. And I'm wondering if maybe the volume's too high. Like Eve comes in much stronger than you do, Richard. And I just wanted to share it for the if there's anything you might. You know, that might help the group better be able to hear.
Okay, well, it sounds, you're saying that I sound a little disordered and wondering
yes,
if there's anything
to do. And there's more clarity on Eve's side.
More clarity on Eve's side.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I really don't know what I can do at the moment.
That's fine, then. I was just sharing it. That's fine.
Okay. Well, great. We'll see what we can figure out, but right now this is currently the best we have.
Yes. Actually, you're actually sounding a little better, so maybe...
Well, I'm sounding better now.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Well, at least we got this part working. Okay, so... Okay, we have another question here, and I click on this one, if I recall, and Mike, and right here. No, that's not it. Okay. All right. Jorge, how can you hear me?
Hi, Richard. How are you doing? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Nothing. Tell you that right now I hear you a little bit better, and I don't know if you remember me. I'm from Ecuador in South America.
Yes, I do remember you.
And it's a pleasure to be. It's my pleasure to be with you again today in this teleseminar, Rich.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jorge. And all right. Any specific questions or just a greeting
and
hello? Okay,
no,
great.
Just that.
Okay. So I'm going to continue on with some of the basic concepts of what we're going to do. And thank you all of you who have come here. Back in 1980, after I had that experience of working and finding my emotional cause, I started really probing even more deeply. And I had consultations, and I figured out a method for discovering the emotional cause. And it took me about 4 years to get that together, but I got it. And it's still the one I'm using today. But finding the emotional cause is only one vital piece of the process. Because after you find the emotional cause, you need to release it. Then you need to go much further with it. And so let's start by discovering how to discover the emotional cause, and I call this step the discovery. And there are a number of questions that I like to use in the discovery process. And what you do with the discovery process is you can work on yourself, but it's about 3 or 4 times harder than working with somebody else. So later on, we're going to group up into groups of 2, and we will work with each other to find the emotional cause. One of the really cool things about this is you don't have to tell your story to anybody. You don't have to share that painful or embarrassing or tragic or angry tale with another person, but we will find out what it is to the extent where you will know that it's absolutely true. We're going to ask the 9 questions that I have listed on your notes. And these questions in your notes are the ones that you will use. These questions are there for you to use verbatim. That means don't change the language when you use these questions. These questions all start with the word what, and one of the questions begins with the word when. We never ask how, we never ask why, we don't ask those kinds of questions. These are specifically designed to get people to give their answers. It turns out that I believe our higher consciousness has a higher agenda for us to get emotionally well than it does for us to be physically well. We have a strong need to find and release all the emotional experiences so that we can grow spiritually. And these questions decode the message of the illness quite clearly. Now, most of the time, it's really easy to find the emotional cause. It usually takes 5-10 minutes, maybe 12 or 14. Once in a while, it takes a lot longer. When I was in Japan, we had a couple tough cases. They were really tough. We did them in front of the whole group, and they took quite a bit longer. And it was actually... I'll tell you about one of them a little later because it actually turned out to be fairly amusing how that worked itself out. But let me walk through the questions briefly, and then we'll go in them in more detail. These questions are used to determine emotional causation, and you want to take notes on every word the person says. You want to keep them completely on topic because when you're working with somebody and they're having... and you're trying to help them find their emotional cause, you're going to want to stay on course with them. So the first question is, when did it begin? And this doesn't mean like the exact, it's a time frame. So when did that shoulder pain or that back pain or whatever it is you're working on, that condition, that illness, when did it start? They'll say, well, about 6 years ago. That's a perfect answer. It doesn't have to be more specific than that. The second question is, what are the symptoms? And describe them in detail. And so what you want to do is you want to have them go into a place where they are being very specific and being very descriptive. So what are the symptoms? Well, it hurts. That's not enough information. But you write down the word hurt. You're going to ask them, well, describe the hurt. And that's just more information about that second question. Describe it in detail. Oh, well, it feels like somebody has a knife and they're stabbing me. And you write the words, feels like someone has a knife that's stabbing me. You write exactly what they say. And you want to have, and because think about this, that's an extremely unusual and descriptive answer to a question. Extremely unusual and descriptive answers are often incredibly valuable because the body is painting a three-dimensional picture of a set of emotions that it didn't want, that you didn't want to feel, that are now being expressed as body condition. The third question is, what emotions do you feel as a result of having the condition? What emotions do you feel as a result of having the condition? This is an extremely important question also, because the emotions that a person feels as a result of having a condition are an exact mirror of the emotions they didn't want to feel that caused the condition. Get it? When you didn't want to feel this terrible pain or hurt or whatever it was, or this raging anger, then the condition will mirror that for you. And one of my theses that I operate from is that the body actually has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but it's a communication so we can get to deeper levels of love. The fourth question is just to help them just even pull out more information, because you're just wanting to pull more and more and more information from the person. And the fourth question is, what judgments do you have about the condition? This question doesn't always work with everybody, but a lot of times it does. It shouldn't be there. It's wrong. It's bad. I hate it, you know? That's really useful information. When somebody says those things, write them down verbatim. Now, here's where people get lost in the process. They'll start wanting to tell you a story. Well, you see, my father had this old ranch, and he had these horses, and what I do is, I'm not rude, but I cut them off, and I said, you know, this isn't helping me to know this. Let's just stay with a question, because if they get, and you, all of you will have breakout sessions not too long from now, and the only way this tends to take too long for some people in a breakout session is if you start telling your story. Stories do not help us find emotional causes. Stories, well, I think I know what it's about, somebody says. It's about the time that I, let's not go there yet. It's not the time for that. One of the really cool things about this work is I don't have to know your story, and you don't have to embarrass yourself by telling it to me. All we need to know is if we get a perfect match between all the discovery questions and your symptoms. If that works, then we have everything we need to be able to move forward. The next question, what does the condition keep you from doing? You could add in if you want, you know, actually the next question does add in, so I don't have to change that. What's the condition keep you from doing? Sometimes this is very useful, because all the aspects of the condition are painting this three-dimensional picture. What does the condition cause you to do differently or affect your life? That's a variation on the last question. And the reason I have it is the more you just try to pull from the person the answers, the better you'll be. If there's any real advice I want to give you about using these questions, is keep seeing if you can pull more information from the person. So, for instance, back on question two, what are the symptoms? Well, are there any other symptoms? Are there any other symptoms? What else do you feel? And just keep pulling in more information, and then you'll do well. So you want to just have a list on paper, and you write down every single thing they say. Next question. And this one is a really interesting, and sometimes, well, this question saved me when I was trying to show the class in one of the classes in Japan. I'll explain it in a minute. What do you imagine is going on in the body? And I call this imaginary physiology. Now, if I ask the question to somebody, what do you imagine is going on in there? They'll say, well, I think that this tendon has been separated from, you know, the muscle and blah, blah, blah. And, well, that's a physiological description. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more like a fairy tale or a description that's fantasy. Like one woman said to me, it's like somebody's got a towel and they're wringing it, just squeezing out all the water. That's a good description. Someone else said, it's like there's a truck and a bang hitting my side. You know, these are very, very fantasy kinds of descriptions, imaginary descriptions. You can write this down next to the question, the words as if. What do you imagine is going on the body? And you can help them by saying, it's as if, and leave the sentence empty. So what do you imagine is going on in the body? It's as if, and you let them fill in the sentence, as if, which is like a fantasy. So I was teaching this workshop, and this woman had this terrible, terrible shoulder pain. I'm not pain, but tightness of the shoulders. And all her answers were what I'll just call bland. Well, it bothers me, it hurts, it's annoying. But there wasn't enough to really draw on, come up with something really specific, to find a really strong emotional cause to cause her to have this since she was a teenager. And I said, all right, what about this question? What do you imagine is going on in the body? And she said, it's as if there's a butt-headed goblin on my shoulders. Wow, a butt-headed goblin? And so we took that and were easily able to figure out that the butt-headed goblin in her life when she was a teenager turned out to be her piano teacher, who would actually hit her if she made a mistake. And she loved learning the piano, but it was a painful, traumatic process doing so. So sometimes just one question might just give you that clue that's going to help you get... Okay, and before we go on, I have a question here from Amy, and let me answer that question. Amy.
Yeah, wait. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Look, somebody just muted you. Let me unmute you. Let's see. Mike? Okay, Amy, you should be on now.
Okay. All right. My question is, when you're the conditions, are we working just with physical conditions, or are these also questions you can use for, you know, something actually an upset, you know, maybe an emotional upset or something that happens when you get around, let's say, maybe sometimes you feel intimidated, you know, that kind of thing. Are these the kind of situations like that as well, or just are we just dealing with physical now?
Well, actually, we are dealing more than just physical. We're going to start with physical because that's the easiest. If you know what you're upset about, you don't need the question because these questions help you find out what you're upset about in the first place. But these questions can be used for financial issues, and sometimes it can be used for relationship issues as well.
Okay, gotcha. I think that's what I was meaning. Not necessarily emotional, but something that is a block maybe in your life. So,
yes, that's true. Because
financial, you can, okay.
Yeah, because the questions are showing you the hologram of how, or rather, why you're creating the reality, okay?
Right, gotcha. Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
You bet. All right, so moving right along. I'm really glad we're able to just kind of take these questions this way. This one is sort of an extra question. Doesn't always need to be there, but I throw it in if you're having trouble. It's what impact does this condition have on other people? Who else is affected and how? And so sometimes one of the reasons we have these conditions is because we're wanting to have some impact on others. And remember one woman, she had a condition where she was so debilitated, she got to be the center of attention and got everybody opening the windows another quarter of an inch, running around, getting her everything, and she just got to be the queen, commanding the whole world around her. And that was part of the whole emotional structure of the condition, which is I thought was very interesting. And finally, the last question is, what would being well permit you to do, and how would your life be different if you were well? I don't need to use these last couple questions very often, but they're good to have in there in case you need them. What we're going to do is we're going to want to get 25, 40 answers from the person. You want to really pull from them and have them feed you these answers. And you write them down. Again, don't let the person get into their story. The story does not help you. It does not help them. It just becomes a huge distraction and keeps you from making the kind of progress you need. When you finally have the answers, and you got all the answers, what you do, and this is really crucial, and it's in the notes also, is you say to them, if you go back to the time of X, whatever they said it began, let's say call it 6 years ago, was there a situation that had some of these components? And you will have gone through your notes. And what you want to do is you want to highlight or underline, circle, however you do it, their most unusual, intense, graphic, specific, strong remarks, whatever really stands out. In other words, if the person says, well, I didn't like it, yeah, that's an important response, but it doesn't tell you as much as I was furious, or I just the intense things like I was outraged. You know, those kinds of remarks are much more interesting in terms of like, well, it hurt, you know, everything. I mean, there's thousands of things in life that hurt, but not that many that make you feel, you know, outraged or an unusual response like, I couldn't stand up straight. What does that mean? You know, you couldn't stand up straight, like as if you couldn't stand up for yourself. The body seeks through metaphors, and the metaphors will express themselves as these conditions. So, I ask the question, if you go back to the time of X, was there a situation that had some of these components? And you read them one by one, and only read about, I don't know, five or eight, just the strong ones. Did it have some of these components where you felt hopeless, that you could never have what you want, that you were always in pain, that the pain would never get better? Those were like specific remarks somebody gave me. And they'll think for a moment and say, well, you know, that kind of sounds like how I felt after my, you know, around the time of my divorce. And I'll say, well, let's see if this fits, okay? And what you do at that point is you go through all of their responses one by one, slowly and carefully. And you say, well, let's see, did it make you feel like you didn't want to be around anybody? And they'll say, yeah. And you just check that one off. And you go through all of their responses. Most every single time, you will have a match of unbelievable proportion. You will have 39 out of 40 or 40 out of 40 responses. Every single thing they say will have been a description of that particular emotional situation. Now, it may have a resonance to another situation, perhaps earlier in their life, another resonant time for them, but it will be a really good match. Then going down into the notes, here I've got these sentences written down here under the question, and I say back to the person, after we found out that it's a match, what do you do with those emotions or these emotions? And almost always, the person says, they're the ones I didn't want to feel. And then I usually hand the list back to them and say, maybe you're feeling them in your body instead of feeling them as emotion. And you get this look on their face like, oh my God, that's how it's done. So they have the list now, and they're looking at the list and realizing that what they have done is they have taken all the physical symptoms that they had, and they had put them inside their body as, I mean, all the emotional symptoms, and put them in their body as physical symptoms. Now, Freud had come up with this idea a long time ago, not an original concept. He called it transference, where people would transfer their emotion into physical symptoms. And then he made a deal with the medical establishment of his time that I won't talk about medicine if you don't talk about psychology. So they split the field, creating this really crazy mind-body split. And I saw medical textbooks where they were actually saying that 60, 70, some people wrote 80% of all conditions have some emotional basis. But if the doctors actually believe that, then they're being very irresponsible by not looking for and getting to the emotional causes. At least that's my thought and opinion. Looks like we've got a question up here from Connie. Let's see. Put you on mic. Connie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Your
question. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
My question is, has this been used for addiction?
Yes, it has. And, you know, there's other things to do along with this, but it can really help a lot because the emotional situations that triggered a person to want to take drugs is a very serious and powerful set of circumstances. And by working with those emotions, it can alleviate the emotional need to go toward the addiction. You see, it's really from a broader perspective. When you realize that the body has the ability to get sick, it also has the ability to get well. By repressing the emotions, we can really get ill. And by releasing them, things can clear up amazingly fast.
Awesome.
All right, yeah. And we have another question from Alicia.
Yes, hi, Richard.
Hi.
I actually have two questions.
Sure.
The process that you're talking about, is there any difference in how you work with somebody in an acute situation or a chronic situation in terms of physical symptoms? Does it matter?
No, not at all.
Okay, so either way it's effective.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if I've got somebody who's been dealing with back pain for 25 years, this could be just as effective as if somebody just twisted their ankle last week.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, good question. In fact, this kind of reminds me about what happened recently. You see, if you think about back pain, what does the back do physiologically? Well, the back supports us. And so a lot of times back pain has to do with support issues, emotional or financial support. Now, you didn't have to know that to ask the questions and to get the information from the person and work with them, because that would all be revealed. And I had a situation about 9 months ago where my back was hurting more and more, and it was not responding to quantum touch. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times where quantum touch just will not do the job because it's not the right tool for the job at that point. And I was not able on my own to just, you know, look in my head and say, okay, this is what the support issue is about, because I wasn't feeling financially hurting and I wasn't feeling emotionally unsupported. And so it was very hard for me to figure out what the emotional cause of this back pain was. So I had to sit down and use my own technique. And the truth is, I love this work. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. I don't use it every day, but when people need it, it's the best. So Jennifer worked with me, helped me find the emotional cause. It turns out that I was angry because a friend of mine, who's about my age, was not being responsible for supporting himself, and I was needed to support him, and I didn't want to have to support him. And so I was resenting having to support someone else. And so sometimes the answers to these questions are just not obvious to us. Okay, we've got a couple other questions. So let me take Sherry. Take you off mute, Sherry. And I unmute you. I say I unmute you, but it didn't happen. Let me try again. Okay, it's not unmuting, Sherry. Oh, I'm going to put you on mic. Let's try that one. That should work better. Okay, Sherry, I can't unmute you. I can only mic you. Hi.
So you can hear me now?
I do hear you.
Wonderful. If we get to the source and we figure out what a issue is,
mm-hmm.
Will we be able to heal if the issue is still ongoing?
Well, yes, you can, because what the issue is not the problem. The problem is that we're not expressing and releasing and dealing with it in a way that really matters. So sometimes knowing what the issue is and knowing what the emotions are you need to feel, it will cause things to change. Now, there are times where dealing with an issue may cause our lives to be changed in a great manner, and we don't even want to go there, so we can avoid it. But if you want to get to that place and do it, yes, you can work on it, on the current situation, but beware, your life may change, because if it's a current situation going on, it might mean that you communicate to someone in a way they don't want to hear, because that's what your real feelings are. And so you can deal with a current situation, for sure. I've done it many times. And it helped me get the emotional access to be real and to be honest about what was really going on. And sometimes people don't want to hear it, but I need to hear it at least inside myself and to be honest about that. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you. Yep.
You bet. Okay. And we have another, Alicia, you have a question, I believe. Go ahead.
Yeah, just the other question, Richard, was can you just talk for a moment, you know, this is in a psychotherapy process, you know, you're kind of describing the story and kind of doing some kind of intervention. So how can you work with somebody who's in kind of a psychotherapy process, or you know, how is this kind of different from, you know, something like body-centered gestalt psychotherapy or something that tries to relate back the emotions to the body?
Well, this isn't different than something relating emotions back to the body. I just have a very elegant system to doing it. But where we really get the bigger difference is, first off, being able to nail down what the condition is about in minutes, which they're not accustomed to being able to do. And even if they do that, I have found the other steps to take us through to the other side.
Okay.
Yeah, because when you see where this goes, it's going to amaze you. I think that's the most exciting thing about it, to see people take themselves back in a way they never imagined possible.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, we have another question. Oh, we did have a question, but it disappeared. All right, so then moving right along. Oh, we do have a question here. Okay, we have a question from Heidi Marie, and you're on. What's your question?
Can you hear me, Richard?
I do.
Thank you. I am wondering, what if the condition that we are trying to discover has been repeated as sort of a pattern in life? So in other words, there is not just one particular point that would be the cause of, let's say, a back pain.
Yeah.
What would happen?
Well, what happens is syndromes have a series of emotional experiences. And, okay, I'll give you a good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to more than a couple people that I know. They have major allergies, and the allergies have an emotional basis. They don't know that, but the allergy did. So the person goes outside, and they're just have all the worst allergy symptoms in the world. They find the emotional cause, which is a big one. They process the emotional cause, and their allergy disappears for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start getting symptoms again, but they're not as bad as they used to be. They're maybe, you know, 20% of what they used to be, maybe 25%.
Yeah.
And they say, well, I better look at this again. And this is where humility comes in. Now, what I mean by the word humility, and I'm being very specific with the definition, is being willing to take each moment as if for the first time, to experience it again for the first time. So what the person does is they look at their symptoms one more time, as if they had never looked at the symptoms before. Because what's going to happen is there will be small but very significant differences in their symptoms. This time they're getting the allergies as opposed to last time or the time before or the time before that.
Right.
And those symptoms will give them a specific answer. And what I'm being told by these people who have been doing this is that each time they do it, they learn something new and they go, oh, I didn't process the emotion about that aspect of the allergy,
yes,
and they process that one, and then that the allergy goes away again. And then every week, this one friend, we get the allergies back, and he started to say, oh boy, I'm really excited. I'm getting allergy symptoms again. I'm going to get to love myself more deeply than I've ever loved myself before, because each time he does that, his reward is that he feels a deeper level of love than he's ever experienced. And now he's looking forward to getting the allergy symptoms. So the allergy is no longer his problem. The allergies have become his teacher.
The healing tool, actually. Yes.
Yeah, it's a healing tool.
Uh-huh.
It becomes a communication from his higher consciousness.
Yes.
What do you want to learn next? So it's a barometer. Another woman had, I remember she had lifelong environmental allergies, and as she processed them, she could see how she was doing on that theme of her life. So there it is.
Very interesting. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Okay, so I get... Okay, so Jennifer says that Eve accidentally put everybody's hands down. If anybody has a question, please raise your hand again by pressing 1 on your keypad. And I do see a question here, so by Karina, and you are on, Karina. And
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
My question is, how does this work with conditions such as HIV or Lyme, where you've got people in the same group who are affected by the same thing, you know, couple contagious conditions, etc.? How does this work in that instance?
Well, I can't give specifics on every condition, not that you're asking about every condition. We've seen huge progress and huge transformation being made by people. One HIV person I'm aware of had his symptoms disappeared, and his virus count went down to unmeasurable. So, you know, there are really awesome possibilities going on here. But it's going to take some real research before we can actually say what's possible. Also, people have different willingnesses to do the process. Let me give you an idea. When I taught this class in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, in Hawaii, in Japan, and everywhere I go teaching this class, I get pretty much the same response. And the response is that after I give people the basic information and they've done the process work on Saturday and they've answered all the questions Saturday, people who have worked with it for one evening only, and you guys have a major advantage over those classes because you'll have more time to wrestle with the material. What happens is by Sunday morning, it's about a third of the group has gone all the way through to the other side of the process. And the humor to me is they're not talking about their conditions anymore. They're just talking about taking back the love again. So it becomes very transformative to see people who have just transformed their life in that regard and so quickly too.
Okay, thank you. I mean, what I'm really getting at is more the if you've got, so I've got a client who's an entire family that may be affected by Lyme disease or a couple that got HIV.
Yeah.
And you're going through the process with them, but their answers are going to be completely different because they're different people.
Yes, that's right. Each person can have their own reasons. And this is something to be done one by one, not as a group, because this is about them as an individual. Each person has their own reasons for their reality creation. And there may be overlapping themes. There may be major overlapping themes, but you still have to figure them out one by one for each person.
But it's interesting that they are all sharing the same thing.
Yeah, it is interesting. But, you know, how many families where they say, oh, well, the breast cancer happens in this family. But then you also see that this is a family that never expresses their anger out loud.
Right.
Well, that's just the way the family operates. That's the family dynamics. We never talk about our feelings. We never talk about the fact that we're not getting nurtured the way we need. So they do that as well together as a family. But then, oh, yeah, how common it is they all have the same problem. So there's two ways of thinking about it. There's the logical reason, like, I hurt my back by picking up something heavy. And then there's the real reason, which is that I'm in a lot of emotional pain around these support issues. And you can go with either answer. Yes, they all had, you know, this tick bite them, and they all have the Lyme disease, or they all had unprotected sex, and they all got the AIDS. But then there's the emotional real reason. And so we can buy into the physical illusion and say, yeah, it's all true. There's every reason to believe that this is what it appears to be. But then when you get to the deeper emotional causative level, that's when the real magic comes in. Because when they release it, we have a tremendous capacity to heal that's been almost unknown about.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, and then we're going to see another question from Dora. Let me get you set up here, Dora. Okay, you are on. Yeah, Dora, go ahead, speak. Okay, I don't see a question here. I'm going to turn that off. And we got one from Alicia. I'm going to turn you on.
Yes, Alicia. Richard. When you say somebody's willingness, can you just talk about that? Does that mean that they have to be willing to participate in terms of kind of describing their condition? Or if they're, you know, somebody just doesn't quite believe in this process, but they're able to really kind of describe and kind of stay with it. Can you just kind of talk a little bit back and forth about
of
the
course.
Willingness piece?
Of course. All right. The willingness has to do with not just the willingness to help you help them find the emotional cause, but the willingness to feel and release the intensity of the emotion. We're going to go through a remorse and forgiveness process soon. And in that process, they have to be willing to go through that process, and not everybody's willing to experience that level of intensity, because through that process, they take themselves back again. So that's what I mean by the willingness. You see, in the world, people have a tremendous resistance to feeling the intensity of their own emotion. That's the biggest human blockage, feeling the full intensity of their own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's willingness, to experience your own emotional reality in depth. And when you do, and you can, not only will the symptoms go away, but you will end up with a level of gratitude that is profound.
Hmm.
And the gratitude becomes overwhelming. I'm not just saying willingness to describe the symptoms and make the connection between that, but after, you know, just give you, I mean, you've got the notes right there, but you've got the release that's necessary, then the insight and the remorse and the forgiveness and the self-love happens automatically, and it just explodes. So we'll get to that in a bit. What we're going to do today is, after I answer these questions, and I want to ask specific questions, if you have anything you want to talk about the questions themselves and how to work with each other with the questions, I'm going to have a little breakout where you will work with each other and ask each other these questions and see if you can find emotional causes. So I'm going to take another question here. I have a question here from Julia, and we click on this, Julia, and Mike, you. All right, Julia, you should be on.
Hello, it's Julia. Sorry, I kind of changed my question in the time. I kind of answered my own question.
Okay.
So I don't know if I even really need to ask you anymore. I was kind of asking, is it something specific or more general as a problem? Because I've got kind of addiction, depression, grief, and I think you said it. I just need to think, what's the big issue, really?
That's it.
Yeah.
Just pick one.
Yeah.
It'll probably cover a few.
Thank you. And also, can I just check if I did choose a physical issue that went back before I was a baby, at least when I was a baby, if not before, is that a block to finding the cause?
I would tend not to go there too much unless you have extremely clear or strong memory of something that's got a lot of emotional impact on it. I want to make it easy for you folks, and I want to make it really effective. And if we do this well, every single one of you will have had a major emotional insight. Now, I think in a group this size in the past, I usually had about, you know, two or three people that were a little bit more stuck, and they just couldn't quite find it. But in the class in Japan, we had a couple people out of a group about this size who just weren't able to find it. So what I did was I worked with them one by one in front of the whole group, and we found it. So these causes are findable. So are there any questions? Well, I got a couple more questions coming up here. Let me close that one off here and open this one up here. We have a question from Adhikari, and you are on. You have a mic in.
Okay. I have a dear friend who's got hepatitis C.
Yes.
Would you go back, and he actually, it came from a blood transfusion way before he ever had symptoms, like 10 years before he ever had symptoms. Would you go back to, he's kind of skeptical about this process, but would you go back to when he got the blood transfusion, or when he first felt the symptoms?
I would go back to when he first felt the symptoms, because the symptoms is when the condition actually begins in your mind. You see, if possible that the blood transfusion was the cause, then it's possible maybe something else. We don't really know. I mean, it's logical that it could have been the blood transfusion, but it doesn't mean that was absolutely true. We don't care about the logic. What we want is the experience. Experience is what really matters for us. So I would go back to when he started feeling the symptoms. So when I ask anybody about using the question, I said, when did it begin, meaning the symptom, not the belief about when it began, but it's the actual symptoms. Usually they're the same thing. So I would go, that's where I would go. Okay? Hello. Okay, well, I guess it's weird, but I guess I have another question here from Randy. And so, Randy, you're on.
Thanks so much. Richard, I'm a practitioner both professionally and personally with some of the methodologies from Dr. David Hawkins, the healing and recovery consciousness guy.
Okay.
Are you familiar with his work?
No, I'm not.
Okay. It seems like the methodology for the self-created health, or maybe not the methodology, but the philosophy or the basis behind it is very similar, and that the self-created health seems to be, to me so far, a very effective methodology that would help target the initial events that led to the pain, the physical symptoms, the illness, whatever. And since you are not familiar with his work, then my next question would be meaningless. But I'll just carry on from here. I'm enjoying it a lot so far.
Well, great. Yeah, I think that there's a couple things. It took me about 4 years to find the questions, to find emotional causes. But then it took me another 25 years to complete the process and to get people all the way through to the other side where they would not, you see, that's why I didn't teach it for all those years, because I didn't know how to get myself all the way to the other side of the condition, and it took me all that time to do it. Okay, Kim, you have a question, and you're on now.
Thank you. I can think of a situation in my own life, and I'm aware of three different times where the pain started. So
yes.
Would I go to the earliest time?
Like, yes,
I have
start
a
there.
Hip, pardon me, I have a hip pain, but I can think of three different times that
yeah,
I've injured my hip, and my hip has been, the pain started in my hip.
Yeah. To give you an example of that, there's a woman I know who had a hip pain, and she's a very successful quantum touch instructor, and she was trying to figure out what the emotional cause of it was, and she was talking with her friend in the process that you'll be doing in a few minutes, and she heard herself say the words out loud, "I just can't get over it." And then all of a sudden, just right in the middle of the session, she knew exactly what the emotion was. And even though they had run energy in her hip 100 times, as soon as she had that insight and did the emotional process, she's never had the hip pain again. So, yeah.
Go to the earliest time.
It doesn't have to be only the earliest time, but
okay.
These could be resonant points.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay, and so are there any specific questions about using the question? So what I'm going to suggest is that you ask the question to your partner verbatim and keep trying to get more and more answers from the person. Just keep asking. Sometimes you have to ask the question over and over. What other symptoms do you have? Can you describe them in more detail and so forth? Just keep pulling more information from them. It doesn't have to take too long. If you're working together and don't get into the story, it can go fairly quickly. Then those sentences that I have underneath it, if you go back to the time of X, was there a situation that had these components? If it fits, slowly go through all the responses. Then at the end, what do you do with those emotions? Just follow the sentences written underneath. They are the key to taking the person to the next step. You go through the questions, write down the answers, ask the questions, and then when you have a match and you walk through all the 40 symptoms one by one, that's when it gets to be totally remarkable, because you see you got this perfect fit and you realize, oh my God, the body was giving me a match to express the condition. Okay, Gabrielle, we need that question from you. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Richard.
Hello.
I have a question about if you have a couple of problems, where do you start? Start you with the problem, what bothers you most, or?
Yeah, start with a big one.
Time, or?
Yeah, what I would do is if you had two major issues you wanted to deal with, process, I would just start with one of them.
Okay,
because
that's what you bothers most, or
Why don't you start with one that's big and bothers you a lot? Because imagine if somebody had 8 things and they tried to process them all at the same time. It could be kind of confusing.
Okay.
So that would be perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So we've been going for about an hour now. We've gone through the questions. What I'd like to do is have you folks get into groups of 2 and work with each other on these questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a breakout groups, and there'll be all groups of 2, and if there's an odd number, there'll be one group of 3, and what this means is you'll be able to hear each other. And